Chapter 28. A Truth Never Told. After an hour, it became a hindrance. After two, a problem. In the third hour, they were barely moving at all.
"Just leave me,"
Mercutian said, supported on Talos's shoulder. He was dragging them back, slowing them down. Talos knew it. Sirion Anuzes knew it. And Mercutian knew it better than any of them.
"Leave me," he kept saying.
"Leave the cannon," Talos replied.
"It isn't helping."
Mercutian clutched the heavy bolter tighter.
"Just leave me. I'll cut down any of the Xenos wretches that come here to find me. If they're behind us, I'll buy you some time."
Sirion walked alongside Talos and the limping warrior. Over a private link, he took a deep breath.
"We should leave him, brother."
Talos didn't even glance Sirion's way.
"You should be silent."
"We're going to die, Talos. That's why we're here. Mercutian is already dying, and the head wound Uzes is wearing doesn't look like it's left him all in one piece either. His skull is bare to the bone, and we left one of his eyes back in the chamber where Third Claw died."
Talos didn't argue.
"Uzes is worrying me as much as Mercutian. He seems cold, distant."
"To say the least. Come, what does it matter if Varial overheard a whisper of alien witchery? We're dead men. If we don't die here, we'll die in orbit."
Talos didn't answer at once.
"The gunship slipped in. It can slip out. You heard what Varial said about the Wraith ships. The game has changed."
"And you believe him? You think you're destined to live on and unite the Legion?"
"I don't know what I believe." "Very well.
If you're not supposed to die here, what visions of the future have you seen beyond tonight?"
"None."
"There's your answer. You die here. We all do. Don't let our last hunt fail because we had to limp and flee like wounded dogs. We should find her while she's wounded. Not let her come to us in another ambush. It's not our way."
Talos shook his head as he adjusted Mercutian's weight on his shoulder.
"Enough, Sai. I'm not leaving him. And I have to get to Varial."
"Your trust in the Flayer is your own flaw to fight. Don't drag our lives into it. If you're really turning your back on our last hunt, then Mercutian is still right. You want to reach the surface, and he's slowing us down."
Talos narrowed his eyes as he walked.
"Sometimes, Sai, you make it easy to see why Zarl hated you."
"Is that so?"
Sirion snorted.
"Don't hide behind his ghost as if he'd smile and nod and cheer you on for the sentiment. Zarl would be the first to leave him behind. You know that as well as I. It would be one of the few things he and I ever agreed on."
Talos had no answer to that.
"Brothers,"
Uzas said, with serene calm.
"I hear her. She comes, sprinting through the black."
First Claw redoubled their efforts. Sirion took Mercutian's other side, helping the wounded warrior limp onward.
"Talos,"
Mercutian grunted.
"Shut up. Just move." "Talos," he snapped. "It's time. Thrown in flames, Soul Hunter. It's time. Leave me. Run!"
She came from the darkness again, eldritch blades in bone-armored fists. The throwing star burned black with warp-tempered fire. The spear hissed like fresh iron in a forge trough, spitting hot to the touch. One figure stood in the hallway before her. She smelled the chemical reek of its weapon oils and the dirty blood leaking from its wounds. She'd marked this one. She knew the scent of his life. A lone monkey from their unclean warrior caste, abandoned by his kindred to bleed out the last of his life alone. How little these creatures knew of loyalty or nobility. As she drew near, she saw him strain to lift his weapon and heard a single word in one of the human species' filthy tongues.
"Juthai La,"
said the dying soul of the warrior caste. Mercutian dragged in cold air through his mouth grill. The target locks on his retinal display struggled to align on the advancing witch queen, as though reality itself resisted her presence. He blinked to clear his vision, braced back against the weight of his heavy bolter, and lifted the muzzle to aim down the hallway. She walked closer, and still he couldn't lock onto her. To the hells with augmented targeting, then, back to simple purity. Mercutian breathed the word aloud into the corridor, uncaring whether she knew its meaning or not.
"Pray, sight!"
His bolter kicked in his fists a second later, hammering in anger and filling the narrow tunnel with explosive shells. The survivors ran. Their boots pounded onto the stone as they sprinted, never once looking back. Genetically enhanced muscles bunched and moved within the fiber bundle cabling that augmented their strength, while three lungs and two hearts worked to capacity inside their heaving chests. Talos vaulted a pile of rocks, his boots crashing down on the other side and never missing a stride. His eye lenses flickered runic sigils between 84 and 87 kilometers per hour. Those figures sank lower each time he was forced to slide and skid around a corner, or leap up and kick off from an adjacent wall at a junction in order to maintain a semblance of speed. They'd been running for a full 7 minutes before Talos cursed under his breath. At the edge of his retinal display, the three remaining life signs became two, and a flat line whined its way across the vox. Mercutian trembled as he died in her grip. Even through his fading vision, he noted the damage done to her helm and breastplate. The armor was cracked, letting some of her stinkingly ripe alien blood trickle through. He'd only managed to graze her a handful of times with over 40 shells from his heavy bolter. But the detonations left her charred and wounded, even if he'd failed to cripple her as he'd hoped.
"Sleep,"
she caressed him with her voice, somehow mocking, despite its gentleness. Mercutian gripped the spear that impaled his chest and pulled. He slid half a meter closer to her, feeling the horrendous squealing scrape of the metal pole grating against his destroyed ribcage and burned flesh.
"Sleep,"
she said again, laughing this time, a full-throated and melodious laugh that only ground Mercutian's teeth together even harder. He gripped again and pulled a second time. He barely moved. Strength was fleeing him along with his blood. She whipped the spear back, and the pain of the withdrawal was worse by far than the crack of it going in. With nothing to support him, he crumpled to the ground on dead legs, his armor crash reverberating through the tunnel. For a moment, he lay fetal, trying to suck in air that wouldn't come. He was drowning without being underwater, his vision already graying at the edges. She walked past him, the sight of her boots swishing past were a catalyst, shocking him back to his weakening senses. In his prey sight, she was little more than a thermal blur, but training allowed him to make out the details he needed. With a roar of effort and pain mixed into one screamed song, Mercutian moved as fast as he ever had in his life, and faster than he ever would again. The gladius in his hand rammed through the back of the maiden's leg, bursting through the front of her shin and sticking fast. She cried out in kind, spinning to ram her spear down through his chest a second time. Mercutian grinned up at her as his last breath left him. He spent it speaking a final sentence meeting the Witch Queen's eyes.
Now, try running.
Lucorophus landed in a haze of spreading dust. Varial ignored it, breathing the recycled air within his sealed suit as he stood in the rain.
I see them, the raptor said. They surface to the west, on the battlements.
Varial immediately started to run. He heard Lucorophus laughing, and the raptor's engines cycling back up to power. The apothecary had a handful of seconds before Lucorophus struck him from behind, grabbing his shoulder guards and lifted him off the ground. Varial, who had no love for flying but even less affection for any of the bleeding eyes, clung on in undignified silence as the ruins passed below. His first sighting of Varial wasn't actually when the apothecary was dropped, rather crudely, onto the battlements from above. It was when his eye lens display acknowledged his Badabian brother's proximity and linked a third vital sign feed to join Uzas and Syrians. Zar's name rune, along with Mercutian's, was silent and faded by comparison. Lucorophus touched down with considerably more grace, his claws gripping the ramparts of the crooked, leaning battlement wall. Talos approached the apothecary as Varial was picking himself up.
I want answers, Varial, and I want them now.
My explanation may take some time. I can call the gunship.
Septimus and Octavia are truly here? On this world?
That also will take time to explain.
We are short of many things, brother. Ammunition, hope, warriors. You can add time to that list. Where's Blackened?
The battlements, to the north. Perhaps 4 minutes' flight.
Talos retuned his vox to the familiar channel he never thought he'd contact again.
Septimus.
Lord, it's good to hear your voice.
Get the gunship in the air and fly over the central ruins. We are proceeding there now. Don't land until we call you in. It's too dangerous for you to remain on the ground any longer than you have to. Do you understand me?
Aye, Lord.
And if, by chance, you catch an Eldar maiden in armor of bone in your gun sights, I would appreciate you shooting her into red mist.
As you say, Lord.
Talos severed the link and looked back to the others.
Scatter into the ruins until the gunship comes in. Don't let her find you. Now move. Varial, you're with me. Start explaining.
Syrian sprinted through the rain. Erosion had left this stretch of ruined battlements a mere 7 meters above the ground, which Syrian cleared in a casual drop down to ground level. His boots crunched on the rocky earth, and he broke back into his run. Taking cover in the ruins of the gigantic fortress was hardly difficult. Even on the surface, weathering had left an abandoned city of rubble and tilted walls on the grey plains. He ran for several minutes, stopping at last when he reached a slope of rubble that had once served as a barracks wall next to the battlements. The Night Lord started to climb, his gauntlets punching and clawing handholds in the stone where it was too smooth to grip in the rain.
Syrian,
said a voice, not over the vox, over the rain, it was that near. Syrian looked up. Uzas crouched at the top of the wide wall, looking down at him. The painted palm print was smeared over his ancient faceplate, untouched by the cold rainfall.
Brother,
Syrian replied. A pregnant pause reached between them. Syrian hauled himself the rest of the way up. Uzas rose to his feet and backed away. His chain axe and gladius were still in his fists.
Let us speak,
Uzas said. The storm heaved harder, lightning splitting the sky above them both.
Talos told us to split up.
Uzas never turned his red eye lenses away.
Talos. Yes, let us speak of Talos.
His voice had never sounded so clear,
at least not in the centuries since the Great Heresy. Sirion couldn't help but wonder just what the head wound had done.
What of Talos? He asked.
Uzas gunned the trigger of the chain axe for a moment. Raindrops sprayed from the whirring teeth.
Talos has lost his patience with me many times in the decades since we fled Sagualsa. Yet he has always treated me fairly, always defended me, always remembered that I am his brother, and that he is mine.
Sirion rested his hand on his sheathed chain sword.
Aye, he has.
Uzas tilted his head.
But you have not.
Sirion forced a laugh. It sounded as insincere as it was.
Sirion, 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 I have been thinking as I look down at these red hands of mine. I bear the sinner's red hands because of my many, many rampages through the mortal crew of the Covenant. The Voidborn's father was the last, wasn't it? That foolish, fearful old man who would sweat and weep and cringe every time we walked near.
Uzas took a step closer to Sirion.
How did his fear taste, Sirion? How did it taste when you killed him? Was it still tingling on your tongue when you stood by and let the others blame me?
Sirion drew both blades as Uzas took another step closer.
Lucarifus told you then. Lucarifus told me nothing. I have been playing the past through my mind these last hours, and the conclusion was simple enough. No one else would have found the old fool, a tempting target. None of the others would have been able to taste his cowardice the way you could. And any of them would simply confess to tell us what they'd done. But not you. Oh, no. Not the perfect Sirion.
Sirion glanced behind. He was close to the wall's edge now, and the long drop down to the rubble that came with it.
Uzas, I've been so blind, haven't I? Answer me this, Sirion. How many times did you slay to sup on the crew's fear and stand by while I was blamed? As I pulled through the broken memories, I can recall my true hunts and too many instances of losing control. But nothing like the amount I've been blamed for.
Don't seek to blame me for the—
Answer me!
Uzas pulled his helm clear, hurling it aside and facing Sirion barefaced. His scarred, stitched, broken angel features were contorted by hate. Blood still painted one side of his head, and one eye socket stared hollow, still not quite wedged shut by the wound.
How many of your sins have damned me?
Sirion smiled at his brother's slipping control.
Over the centuries, dozens, hundreds. Take your pick, madman. What do a few more souls matter in the harvest you've reaped alone?
It matters because I am punished for your sins.
Spit sprayed from Uzas's lips as he screamed.
The others despised me. How much of that blame can be laid at your feet?
The others are dead, Uzas.
Sirion kept his voice calm, cold.
What they believe no longer means anything. You damned yourself in their eyes by forever screaming about your blood god each time you drew a blade in battle.
I never worshipped anything.
Uzas aimed the chain axe at his brother's head.
You never understood it. The Legion raises icons to the powers when it suits them. Whatever the cost, wars must be won. I am no different. No different!
If you say so, Uzas. Do you know how many times my thoughts have cleared, only to be confronted by a brother enraged at me for slaying some vital member of the crew?
Uza spat over the side, his face even more hideous now the rain had washed away the blood. His skull showed where the left half of his head had suffered the skin being ripped away.
I killed dozens, yet bore the blame for hundreds!
He raised the weapons in his fists, displaying his red gauntlets.
These are your marks of shame, Sirion. I wear them because you are too weak to do so yourself.
The rage bled from him as abruptly as it had risen.
I will tell Talos, and you will confess what you've done. He must know the depths of your appetite, the things it has forced you to do.
If you say so, Sirion repeated. Brother,
forgive my anger. The wrath is difficult to bite back some nights. I know the feel of the warp's caress as surely as you do. I feel for you, my brother. I truly do. We are more alike than either of us has ever admitted.
Uza sighed and closed his eyes. A smile, the first sincere smile in centuries, spread across his broken face. Sirion moved the moment Uzas's eyes closed. He lashed out with both blades at once, aiming for the pale flesh of Uzas's throat. The other Night Lord flinched, barely blocking with his own weapons, and hit back with a kick that rang against his brother's breastplate like a tolling temple bell. Sirion staggered, boots loose on the edge, and plummeted from view without a sound. Uzas howled, a full-throated cry to the unquiet sky, his clarity shattered and his vision bathed red. The heaven's thunder melted into his throbbing heartbeat, and the rain in his eyes stung like his own acid spit. He took a running leap, chain axe snarling, and threw himself after his treacherous brother. He heard the howl, but saw no source. Lightning forked the sky again, a pulse of daylight's brightness bathing the ruins for a single second. For a moment, the toppled walls and spires resembled a dead city, and the legs of titans. Talos stopped running. He slowed to a halt, looking around with narrowed eyes, ignoring the pointless data streaming across his eye lenses.
No, he said, to no one but himself. I've seen this before.
The lightning flashed again, drenching the ruins in short-lived light. Again, in the fragmentary sight, he saw titans formed from the tilting walls, and tanks revealed as lifeless stone when the blinding brightness faded. He leaned against, flash, the hull of a land raider. The stone wall of a fallen building, and looks for signs of his brothers. He sees Sirion, half buried in a mound of rubble, almost 1,000 meters away by the testimony of scrolling retinal tactical data. He watches another struggling figure emerging from the wreckage, and his visor locks onto Uzas, approaching Sirion's prone form from behind. And at last, he knows where he's seen this.
It was never at Krythe. I read my own vision wrong. Uzas, he kills him here. He kills Sirion here.
He broke into a run, the golden sword's power field flaring to life. Sirion winced at the pain in his thigh, feeling fairly certain his leg was broken by the 20-meter fall. His helm's display was a haze of static, stealing any chance of checking his bio-readings, but having lost an arm in battle and feeling a haunting sense of familiarity in the sensation now, he felt he could make a fair guess. He tried to claw his way free of the rubble. He had to get away from...
Sirion!
The low growl lingered on the final syllable, lost in drooling confusion. He heard Uzas scrabbling across the rocks behind, and thrashed in the rubble's grip, pulling himself half clear. He could hear footsteps, heavy and swift, but couldn't twist to see. The shadow above him lengthened across the rocks, as Uzas raised the axe. Sirion was still reaching for his fallen sword,
when the blade descended. Uzza stiffened, the chain axe falling from loose fingers to clatter onto the rubble. He looked down, no longer seeing Sirion trapped beneath him, his eyes drawn to nothing but the golden sword extending through his chest.
"I know that sword," he thought, and started laughing.
But no breath meant no laughter, and he did nothing more than wheeze through bloody lips. The golden blade was already cleansed of his blood, washed clean by the rain. Even so, the cold droplets aggravated the shimmering energy field, breeding a buzzing aura around the steel, spiced with sparks. He sighed, almost in relief, as the sword slid back out. Surprisingly, he felt nothing in the way of pain, though the pressure in his chest was mounting to the point he feared his heart would rupture. He turned to face his murderer. Talos stood in the rain, red eye lenses offering nothing of mercy.
"Talos," he tried to say, "my brother."
"You,"
the prophet readied the blade again, clutching it in two hands.
"I trusted you. I argued again and again and again for your life to be spared. I swore to the others you were still inside there somewhere, still a shred of nobility waiting to be reborn, still a fragment of worth, deserving of hope."
"Talos,"
he tried to say again,
"thank you. You are the foulest, basest, most treacherous creature ever to wear the winged skull of Nostramo. Reuven was a prince by comparison. At least he was in control of himself. Talos."
Uzas's vision swam. He blinked, and upon opening his eyes, he found he was looking up at his brother towering over him. Had he fallen to his knees?
I... "Wait,"
Uzas managed to say. He was appalled and amused in equal measure by the weakling's whisper his voice had become.
"Talos."
The prophet kicked him in the chest, sending him toppling onto his back. His head cracked on the jagged rocks, but he didn't feel any pain beyond the press of cold stone. No more words would come. Every breath sent black blood, deliciously warm, spilling over his chin. He saw Talos rise above him, the golden sword spitting sparks in the storm.
"I should have killed you years ago,"
Uzas grinned, just as Mercutian had grinned at the moment of death.
"You probably should have, brother."
He saw Talos turn and move away, out of sight. Varial replaced him, the apothecary's icy eyes staring down with polite disinterest. Drills and saws deployed from his Narthesium gauntlet. "His gene seed?" Varial asked. Talos's voice carried back from nearby.
"If you harvest it from him, I will kill you, too."
Varial rose to his feet with one last dispassionate look, and moved away as well. The last words Uzas heard were those spoken by Sirion, grunting as he was pulled from the rubble.
"He came at me from behind, screaming his endless devotions to the blood god. My thanks, Talos."